It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Pleased to be joined in studio this weekend by Tuolumne County CAO, Tracy Riggs. CAO Riggs, there are a lot of things going on right now in the county. Thank you so much for coming in and joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me, BJ.
So first off, when did you officially step in as CAO?
So my contract officially started on January 1st of 2019.
So how has that transition gone over the past several months?
Well, we're definitely still in the transition. We've made a lot of changes since I came in, and we will continue to make those. It's been good. We have a great team and working a lot with our department heads for that transition as well, and then within the community. So far, it's been very good.
And a lot of people in the community knew you before you became CAO, but for those who don't know your background, what did you do before becoming this job?
So originally I came into Tuolumne County in 2006 to help facilitate the closure of the Tuolumne General Hospital. I was a contracted accountant for a period of about 18 months. Once that closure was pretty much complete or almost complete, I then moved into the Behavior Health Department and helped with setting up the fiscal foundation of that department. Eventually moved up to the Behavior Health Director, and then an analyst position came open in the County Administrator's Office, and it looked really interesting, so I applied. And I was hired. That was very exciting. Then I worked from County Administrator's Office. My first job that was assigned to me was Office of Emergency Services, which is where most people know me from. Then I also took on budget, but moved from analyst to Deputy County Administrator, Assistant County Administrator, and then the board appointed me as County Administrator in January. My background was in tax accounting and healthcare before I came into county government. I had had my own practice and was self-employed for many years before I stepped into government. And it was a big change for me, but one that was exciting. It was a great learning opportunity, and I've met some amazing people.
I have to imagine it helps having a little background in the private sector and the public sector coming into this new job.
I think so. I definitely come at things a different perspective. What I've noticed in a lot of our county administrator's office, there's not a lot of that. People tend to go into college, their master's in public administration, they do internships. Those internships generally are with government, and then they step right into a government office. So I definitely came in with a different perspective. I think it does help me to balance as I'm looking at our budgets and activities and overall productivity and efficiencies.
Stepping into the new role, did you make some decisions early on with additional staffing or changes with staffing, with assistant CAO and that type of thing?
We did. So when I first came in, the first job I had to do was hire an assistant to fill my position. And we are fortunate to have secured and hired great talent. Eric Earhart, who was a lieutenant in the sheriff's office for years, has been a deputy for about 19 years, came into our office. And he, again, lends a completely different point of view and perspective as we work through different issues. We also eliminated a deputy county administrator to create a general services department. And the reason for that is during the recession that we all went through, in order to balance the budget and be as productive and efficient as we could, we actually, some of the department heads were eliminated, and we moved those departments into the county administrator's office. That at times creates difficulties when you're trying to focus on the board and their priorities and you're trying to run departments at the same time. So that was one of the things I wanted to do right away. The board approved it, and we did hire Daniel Richardson is now our new general services administrator, and he's doing a great job.
And we are getting close to the passage of a new budget in about a month's time that has to be approved. As we mentioned earlier, I have to imagine that's a pretty stressful time for a county administrator putting all of this together. You know, how are things coming along when it comes to that new budget?
So like we do every year, we put together a budget. We also change the process in which we do the budget this year. In the past, we would do what was called a requested budget. The requested budget is where department heads get to submit all of the requests that they might have. Then after that, I would go in and work on what we call the recommended budget, and I would go in and pull out all the extra positions and other types of things that people wanted to add. However, what has led to some confusion in the community and by our own staff is that the requested budget, remember, is what the department heads request. That was sometimes put out, and it would have a much higher number, say, deficit that we had. So maybe in the past, you might have seen a $7 million deficit. Then we come back in and I pull all the extras out and we do a status quo budget, and now we're down to say $4 million. And everyone wants to know, where'd you come up with that other $3 million? And really, it was pulling out all the extras. So this year, we're not doing the requested budget. We are starting with the recommended budget. So our department heads were given the direction that they would do a status quo budget. And status quo means no extra programs, no extra employees. Try to stay as close as you possibly can to the current approved budget. With all the new board-approved compensation adjustments, new revenues, any other things that we know are coming through that we have to do. Otherwise, that means no extra frivolous stuff, no new staff. So that's what we're working on right now. We're in the middle of doing a finance budget and payroll conversion for our software. So our software we currently work on is really, really old. It's cumbersome, and it takes a lot of time. So right now, we've spent a lot of time working through that system, getting the numbers, and we will be taking this to the board on June 4th.
So on June 4th, that's kind of a meeting to watch coming up just this next week, that people will learn a lot more about how things are looking?
Correct. June 4th will be our first, the board's first look at the budget. They have not been able to see any of these numbers and what we're working on. And then we will bring back a budget that has to be balanced on June 18th.
And I know these numbers are still being put together. I mean, can you allude, is it going to be another tough budget year for the county and tough decisions have to be made?
So ever since I came to the county in 2006, I've never worked through a budget year that wasn't tough. And every year we have to work the budget. This year will be no different. The difference that we do have is that because every year we continue to work the budget, we continue to narrow down what the departments have, meaning they have very, very finite amounts in each of their budget line items. And we continue to constrain that so that when you get to 8-9 years down the road, there's not any wiggle room left for them. So when we come in and say everyone needs to reduce 6% of their budget, we're talking about sometimes programs and people, not just office supplies and training. And that's where it becomes very difficult. It's the human factor, not just for our staff who we look at, what are we going to do there, but also for those who participate in those programs and the impact on their lives if those programs weren't there.
You know, when talking about the budget, you know, the initial budget is right in front of you, but then, you know, years down the road, you're always looking at, you know, long-term things that could come up. What are some things out on the horizon that are, you know, concerning or that you're watching as a CAO?
So one of the things that we have continued to watch, it's happening this year, I've reported to the board in the last years when I've done the budget presentation, we continue to see state and federal revenues decline. And that is an issue. That means that essentially all of this new legislation and these new mandates and new realignment for safety and for health, all that means is that state and federal legislators are pushing that down on the local government. Unfortunately, they don't push it down with any funding. So that means that the board is forced to look at using discretionary revenue, such as property tax, TOT, that's our transient occupancy tax, and sales tax. And they have to use that to do those mandated services, such as law enforcement and fire services. So it really narrows the gap on what we're able to do for those quality of life services that we all like and we like to participate in.
We hear about at the state level being flush with cash at certain times, so it's not a situation where they're just sending it right down to the county level for you guys?
They are not. While our county's been very fortunate that we have received millions and millions of dollars in grant funds, but those are always coming with dedicated services and or programs, doesn't allow us to support the actual essential services that we must provide on a daily basis. So no, they're not helping with all of those other mandates that we have to provide, again, which then puts pressure on the board to start looking at those other services that we do that we don't have to provide, but are quality of life services.
Sounds like a challenging juggling act for yourself and your staff and the supervisors to go through it.
It absolutely is.
We need to take a break. We're talking with Tracy Riggs. She is the county administrator for Tuolumne County on this weekend's Motherlode Views. She's joining us in studio. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment with CAO Riggs is coming up in just a minute.